show in this reality dedicated to hosting passionate people, discussing our excitement for comics old and new, talking about what's hot in the industry, and of course all things MCU, DCU. If you enjoy this show, please hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't skip a beat, and it helps the show out a lot. Please, please do it. Now, with me today is going to be someone who you're going to be very familiar with going forward. We've had him on in the past. He's a very close friend and ally. And honestly, I could say one of the first people that I met in this whole like world of like geek comic pages online, and a friend of mine that I've had for so long. Rob, it's great to have the King of the Ramblers back. Thank you for being here, my friend. And it's good to have you going on here and being on with me going forward, dude.
Yeah, man, I'm super excited. Thank you for the King of the Ramblers. It sounds like an Irish trad music band. I'm not a king. I rule the planet Robulon. That's it. So
yeah, I like that. That's what it is. Look, it's been a minute since some of our listeners have heard you on, and I gotta say it's almost neglectful the fact that I haven't had you on since that. I don't even know when it was, dude, that I had you last on. But you had everyone was DMing me, thinking you are absolutely hilarious and you knew your shit. And the crazy thing, dude, was that everybody was asking me where your accent is from. I got some people asking me if it was like some weird place in Australia, Europe. I think I even got Jamaica was one of them. If you just want to give a quick 30-second who is Rob, that'd be awesome. And we can take it from there.
Okay, who is Rob? Well, I am Rob. That's who I am. I'm from Ireland originally. I get the Jamaican thing because, funnily enough, there's some similarity in words between Irish and Jamaican accents.
Oh, that's cool.
I am a lifelong, no, not a lifelong Marvel fan. I wasn't reading Marvel Comics when I was born. I've been a fan of Marvel Comics for 30 years now, I would say.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I collect what I love. I love to talk comics, wrestling. I have a YouTube channel I'm slowly building up the long form videos that will all be released in the next few months. But right now it's just doing shorts to teach people little tidbits of information. And yeah, just one thing, a great phrase I heard on a wrestling channel I watch, like what you like and don't be a dick. That's kind of
I like that a lot. I think that's honestly a very applicable rule to live by for pretty much anything. For those listening, honestly, for those listening, yeah. Rob also does awesome voice work. I don't know if you mentioned that just now or not. I don't think you did, but
I did not.
Oh, dude, your voice work. I'm sorry if you were trying not to bring it up, but it's just so good. It's so good. So if any of you guys want to check out his Instagram page, is great. His YouTube's even better. So definitely go check him out. Look, Rob, you know, the reason you and I do so well, I think, my friend, is because we are event enthusiasts. We are current comic readers, always hitting the shops every Wednesday religiously. And, you know, we're in it for all the fun that it brings. So look, guys, for this Geekable episode, it's actually a really packed episode. We have a lot of great stuff to talk about. Just some highlights. You know, we're going to be talking about the Deadpool 3 movie coming out. There's some whispers about that. We're going to be talking about The Rock's on 4. And a little event coming out that looks like it's going to rock Odinson to his core. Fall of X, Muse being confirmed in Daredevil Born Again. The latest event coming up with Blood Hunt. Thank you. Yeah. Blood Hunt. A lot of good stuff talking about here today, guys. So buckle in. It's going to be a great, great episode. You know, I guess let's kick it off here, Rob. Something that I wanted to talk to you about, because I actually don't know myself, so I'd love to know. Are you a fan of the Deadpool movies at all?
Am I? I think I've seen them both once. I saw it in the movie theater. Okay. I enjoyed them. Yeah. I love the chances the first one took. It was very much, you could tell Ryan Reynolds loved the character and went the way Deadpool was supposed to go, not the kind of X-Men Origins route. But in regards to, I'll always be, we don't even want to touch on that.
We don't even want to. Oh.
I'll always prefer the comics over the movies. And I think, I don't know, I kind of feel, I think I've mentioned, we've talked about this when we've been shooting the shit before. Deadpool now is not written as Deadpool. Deadpool is written as Ryan Reynolds. And I feel that is it's hindering the comic series. You look at Dugan's run of him, where Dugan balanced the tragic and the humor, which ran it was definitely over 100 issues, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, the whole run. And not to cut you off, but dare I say the definitive run of Deadpool?
Absolutely.
Probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, we got origin of, like, we found out about his daughters, like, his ties to Weapon Plus, you know, Captain America's kind of, I don't know, respect for him. What happened to his
parents?
The good,
the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah that was like, awesome. The origin of the yellow boxes, like, all of those things. And now the guy can't get a series past issue 13 or 15.
That's Deadpool, probably like a top like 8 most popular character in Marvel
because of the movies.
But honestly, I probably, however, do you think Cody Ziegler's coming in hot? He's been great at Marvel so far. We're going to talk about April, solicitations, where Deadpool number one is getting a new creative team. I think it'll be good. I do. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, again, I'm getting it because, the writer, it was the fact that Cody, because I'm loving his Miles Morales, and I'm going to get it like that. And also, you know, I'm a sucker for new characters. I like to get them because I like new ones, and I think there's a new bad guy showing up in this. Yep. And I kind of think I'll give it the first arc and we'll see.
Cool.
You know, I think with comic books, it's kind of like a show. Give it the first season before you make your decision.
Dude, you know? I love that you just said that. I tell people that all the time. People are like, oh, I've read the first issue, I'm dropping it. I'm like, I just feel like you need to give it an arc. Like, that's really, like, how I operate. I'm like, give it 5 issues and then make your decision.
Look at the U.S. Office. The first series of the U.S. Office is carbon copy of the U.K. one, and I do not like that season. But season 2 is when the characters start to find their own footing. They move away from the U.K. one, and it ran for 9 seasons. Now, I get it.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, yeah.
Money, you know, the comics now, a standard comic is going up to $5. It's not like it's a cheap hobby. I get it. I would just say, you know, don't give the story a chance to kind of find itself or resolve. Like, let's say when people were going mad about Felicia and Peter dating. Yeah, they're giving it another shot because they did it years ago. They've both been through a lot. And surprise, surprise, they just ended it because they realized
agree.
And people I also are found always that, in an uproar.
They are. And I also found, I was honestly like, look, I'm going to say this. I want to see MJ and Peter together. All right, start with that. But I actually really liked that he went for Felicia in the new Spider-Man series, because Peter Parker, I should say, is so shooken up right now. It's human nature to go to where you're most comfortable. And when you're in a situation, hear me out on this, when you're in a situation that's totally new and completely novel to anything you've experienced in your life, we tend to cling on things that we are familiar with, right?
Yeah.
To help us experience. Yeah. To help us experience what we're going through and traversing in this new world or this new life. To me, it was like, okay, I get where they're going with this. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that's how I took it. And that's where my little story is going with it. But
that's the beauty of comics. You can take it your own way. You don't have to force someone to see it that way. You know, it's like when we were talking about the Punisher, Jason Aaron's Punisher.
Right.
People were dumping all over that, like, oh, what have you done to Frank's memory and blah, blah, blah. But I said this to you, it makes sense. How can a man who just decides I'm going to kill every criminal I see be this happy-go-lucky dad, play catch, braid his daughter's hair, loving husband? You know, the guy went through how many wars, and we got to see, you know, the side of Maria. We never saw her side because she was dead, and it made sense. And read the whole story. Don't just read 2 or 3 issues. Oh, they canceled him. They canceled his thing. No, they didn't. He got a quick makeover because the Hand are all about branding. Look at when they had Daredevil. We want to give you some spikes, Matt. We want to flare up the D's. Really give you that ancient beast look. Like, it was just standard Hand stuff. But each to their own. But everybody's going to see a story differently. So what do you think the Deadpool trailer is going to drop?
Going to that, dude. If I was a betting man, I mean, look, we got confirmation from Ryan Reynolds yesterday that they just finished they just finished. They wrapped. Why not drop it at the Super Bowl? It's probably going to be one of the top movies of the year. Drop the trailer. Put a teaser, not a trailer. Put a 30-second teaser together. And if I was a betting man, they're going to go with the and this has already been leaked, so I guess I'm cooking the books here a little bit. But it's going to be Deadpool and Wolverine. Not Deadpool 3. Ryan Reynolds is, you know, he's not here to cameo. He's co-starring this bitch. So, like, let's see where it goes.
Tinfoil hat, the Super Bowl. I don't know if, like, Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team is in the Super Bowl or will be. But look at the April solicits. What are they reprinting? Dazzler's first appearance. Now, unless Marvel are trolling us or, like, trying to get that Tay-Tay fan money, you're like, maybe it's true. Maybe she will be in it. And all you really have to do, don't mind Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, if you show, like, those rollerblades and the sequin pants and then, like, just that.
Could you imagine?
Forget it. People will go mental.
Dude, I would go mental. Dude, I mean, that would be talk on that one. Like, that would be crazy. That'd be crazy.
It would be dazzling.
It's been rumored for a while. It would be dazzling. Thank you. Thank you. You had to. You couldn't help yourself. Why do I even indulge you anymore? Why do I even indulge you? I don't know. Look, that would be crazy. I would love that. Let's see. My tinfoil hat's on that as well. You know, kind of going hand in hand with that, right? We're talking about rated R. I mean, look at the airtime we're giving Deadpool 3. It's going to be a good movie. Hard rated R MCU movie. First project. That's crazy. Kind of going in tandem with that. It seems that the industry / Disney / Marvel is really trying to push for maybe some more, like, adult hard M rated content. The new Blood Hunt event coming out got a polybagged red band edition. I know you saw that. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that.
Yep.
Dude, I gotta look. I was talking to Dano Cosmic when he posted this in his comics and in his comments, and him and I had a discussion about this. He brought up a decent point, I thought, as to why he's, like, not super thrilled about the Red Band sort of polybagged edition, which will be rated R. I think this is great. For those of you listening, there's a Marvel event coming out. Blade is the star. The Avengers are the star. Vampire pretty much raid the Marvel universe, and it's they're releasing a rated E for everyone issue and then a polybagged rated R issue with swearing and more blood and some more panels. What are your thoughts on this, Rob? I need to ask you hard on that. What do you think of this?
Well, I mean, first off, I mean, you got to look at the Immortal Hulk was rated teen, and look at the gore and the violence in that. Right,
Ghost Rider too, right?
Yeah, Ghost Rider, and of those visuals were like, oh my god. The swearing thing, I don't know. I'm always okay with, like, the little thing I look at is that there's 8 pages more in the R in the Red Band one than there is in the regular issue.
Pages.
Maybe I misread it. It looked like there's 8 pages more in the Red Band one. Now,
wow,
is that going to be, it's a dick move if you lose out on focal points of the story for the Red Band one.
And that's
what would piss me off. But it's a case of, yes, you know what I'll do? I'll give them this shot, because I will say this, and in terms of, like, what event is better than to have a Red Band one with vampires? There's a lot of blood, and that's true. I know what makes movies rated R is the blood content.
And Blade, like, is front and center. It makes sense if they're gonna, right, dude. There's not gonna be a rated R friggin', like, War of the Realms event, right? It's just not the reality. I'm not knocking the event. It's just, like, the reality. Yeah. They're really not gonna invest.
It makes sense to do that with this one. I'll probably. Like, okay, I'll look at the red. I'm gonna get the Red Band one. That's the one I've pulled.
Right, me
and
too.
I'm gonna
too.
Check out I might just read the first copy, the regular copy when I'm in the store.
Yeah,
just to check and see.
I'm gonna do that the week later. Yeah, I'm gonna do that the week later when I'm back in. Look, I I need to ask you this as well. I'm going to give my thoughts before you go ahead. What does this mean for the industry? Dude, is there a reality in which the Red Band sells double what they friggin' thought it would?
No.
And they're like, holy crap, we need to tap into this more. No, you're saying no, hard no
it's
on
the,
that.
It's
like,
the foil cover 3D gimmick thing again.
I don't I don't know. I think it's a little more powerful than that, dude.
But why do you need it? This is the thing. I get that it works with vampires, right? But let's say we have like War of the Realms. You don't need it. You're doing it for the sake of doing it. And that's why when, let's say, for example, you said that they're pushing the rated R Disney movie. You don't have to overdo it. You don't have to just do it for the sake of doing it. If it works with the story, fine. But we live in a world where if a story is successful, they will flog it until it's dead. Yeah. Spider-Verse was great.
Oh, God,
10 years
dude.
Ago,
and there's
it was fantastic. Then we got Spider-Geddon. Spider-Geddon was pretty good. It went off a different way. It did go different. Then we got Edge of the Spider-Verse, and it led into End of the Spider-Verse. Sorry, we had Miles' Spider-Verse one, which I still have not gotten issue 6 because I'm not paying more than $1.50 for that because, speculation culture, whatever. Then we had the Edge of the Spider-Verse, which led into End of the Spider-Verse. Then we got another Edge of Spider-Verse series, and now we have another Edge of Spider-Verse series.
I, dude, you're preaching to the choir, man. I know. Look, the first, what was it, Spider-Verse? Now I get them all mixed up because there's so many. Sometimes I'll be talking about one, and like my brother will be like, "You're talking about this Spider-Verse event," and I'm like, the first Spider-Verse event was like probably one of the top five Spider-Man events, in my opinion. I think it was like a top five in comic book history. I loved it. And then it's just none of those ones.
It almost went like, you know what? Look, Dan, that sounds like a great idea. Go for it. And it's one of these. It's like, let's say the first Star Wars movie. Now, I'm not using Star Wars I'm saying the first Star Wars movie. The studio didn't really believe in it. They're like, oh my God, it's going to flop. Huge success. Okay. Then it's like, oh, cool. This was released on streaming. Now we'll do Spider-Geddon in theaters. Okay. That didn't really do what we wanted to do. Now we'll do a direct to DVD of End of the Spider-Verse. And it's all, it's like, look at the Annihilation crossovers, man. First one was huge. Annihilation Conquest was huge. Then we got 6 one-shots for the third one, and then a low-key crossover for the last Annihilation.
Yeah, that's
that's
right.
With Al Ewing's thing. So it's, I mean, look.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's all about the quality of the story at the end.
We'll see. And that's why I understand you saying I don't want story jeopardized for Blade, you know, 8 pages of Blade just hacking away vampires and blood and guts being everywhere. I see your side of that. I trust the creative team enough to not do that.
Absolutely.
I've been wrong before. Rats,
like, that's going to be beautiful. I see why it works for this event. I'll get it for this event. But you don't need them to do, if there's a Carnage event, okay, we'll do where we show more gore. Look at the gore that was in the Carnage series. Like, that was brutal.
That was brutal, dude. That was brutal. I agree with you. That was like more than what I could ask for. I mean, look, even going further, I'm gonna soft segue into another point here is that, you know, Muse today is confirmed to be the lead villain as far as we know. Daredevil Born Again on Disney Plus coming out in 2025 will be 18 episodes long. We're not sure how that's going to be broken up.
18 episodes long.
18.
Jesus Christ.
18 episodes long. Who knows if they'll like release the first three, you know, together. Who knows how they'll do it? But dude, it's going to be like over a year of like a Daredevil saga, like, you know, loosely maybe tying into other things. Like, who the hell knows? So, but as far as we know, Muse is going to be, for whether it's Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, the whole show is going to be the villain. And we got confirmation of that today that he's going to be the villain. He's a pretty brutal character. As far as like blood, I mean, I have his comics right here. I pulled them out, and I mean, beautiful work. He's a great character, probably one of the better Daredevil villains. Not that like Daredevil well, has that I mean, many, but
realistically, yeah, Daredevil's Rogues Gallery, same as Iron Man. It's not that lucrative. But I mean, I think that's a strength for shows like this, because if people have their preconception and you don't do it right,
you didn't do it right.
But this guy had one story arc and then he was killed and that was it. You know, it's
he wasn't killed. He was put away into an inhuman prison. But I mean, we haven't heard from the guy in freaking 10 years or something. So
so
obviously he's gonna come back now that you know he's. I'm sure. Well, there's already
you think
plans.
About it though, there's not that much synergy between the comics and the event and the movies anymore. Like, is there really?
I think they'll bring Muse back in the comics because I think that it's just too easy for them not to, dude.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe again, like
I don't know.
He's a guy who hasn't had that. Like, he's a handful.
We're talking
of
what if
he's appeared in? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you literally. Know? Literally, he's been in like probably 7 issues total. I mean, that's nothing.
If even
nothing.
If even yeah.
That might be a long shot, but yeah, dude. Overall, I liked what I saw, and it looks like the Wilson Fisk will be mayor. And if you watched Echo, and you know, I think it's safe to talk about it now, but the end credits scene for Echo was Wilson Fisk kind of getting the idea to run for mayor. You know, that's cool. What it showed. I think it'd be cool, dude. I'm gonna try. I think Marvel will work out their kinks for that to be successful. Let's hope, but. Overall,
I think the best thing Marvel could do is less is more. Less is
less
more.
Is more.
That's what made more. Me fall off the wagon. Like, it's too much. I don't
you
really
were a
care
fan.
Anymore.
You were an MCU
but
fan.
But then it was just so much in the speculation market, and we're like, this comic shouldn't be this much. This is annoying me, excuse me, but
yeah.
I'm just a grouchy old shit now, so it doesn't matter. Now, I will say this. The Roxanne Thor thing. What did you think of that?
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Rocks and Thor. So, I mean, look, I think Al Ewing has done, what are we, 5-6 issues into Thor now? I give it like an A- so far. As far
well,
as
actually, just quick thing to give people who aren't reading the Immortal Thor, Roxxon is basically like the Walmart of Marvel, but it's like super evil. It's all involved in like experimentation. If it's bad news, rocks on the corporation about it. And the CEO basically is working. He's a Minotaur, Dario Agar, great character actually. He is working with Enchantress and Scourge, and has bought the fictional Marvel comics from. And I think it's called Timely Comics in Marvel, if I'm not mistaken. So through Enchantress's magic, Dario is basically going to rewrite Thor's history. And now Roxxon, it's kind of like when the Beyond Company got the rights to Spider-Man, because it was Otto had trademarked it under Parker
good
Industries.
Model of comparison.
So it'll be cool to see what ways, you know, we'll have the Immortal Thor and Roxxon Thor. And we'll just see. I mean, it's Ewing does great, like his Immortal Hulk run was fantastic. You know, poor old Donnie Cates came after that, and that was just a tough run to follow. You know, like it was never going to match up. And the new current volume of Hulk, I love it. Oh my god, I wanted to run for so long. I don't
top,
want
top
to be
three
12 issues. Oh, without
top
doubt.
Three top three Marvel comic out right now, easily. You should buy it. Everyone should
art,
read that.
The villains, just it's just great.
Fantastic. It's fantastic. So going back to your question, I think I love the idea. I love Dario Agar. He's one of my Azure. I don't know. I always mix and match how the hell I pronounce his last name. But regardless, that guy doesn't F around. He is a problem. He is a very, very powerful villain. You know, he can go toe to toe with Thor. But the best part about the character is that he really doesn't. He really doesn't. You know
he's
what I
like
mean?
A corporate Mr. Sinister. Is that
dude,
he has like
dude, you the, nailed it. Yeah.
He has the like he it's the yeah. thing of wars are waged now with social media and all those twists and kind of things. And that's what Roxxon was doing in Immortal Hulk. as well. And yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be fun. It's probably going to be tongue in cheek, you know, like Al Ewing's definitely not one to shy away from that kind of commentary at all. Greg Land's on art. I love Greg Land.
So let's talk about that. I got a lot of DMs asking me about what are your thoughts on Greg Land and art. And look, I feel like I'm in the small boat, which isn't possible because the guy sells comics. If he's on a title, it sells.
I got Avengers Beyond because I wanted to see him draw the Black Order.
I wanted to see him draw the Beyonder. So, I mean, look, I'm a fan of his art. I'm just going to say that. Do I appreciate, right? Look, let's talk about the controversy as a whole. Greg Land, I can say this. It's really not even like me, like with the tinfoil hat, as we like to say. Greg Land traces art, okay? You can very, very clearly see it in, if you just look up, go to Google and look up Greg Land pencil tracing. And you can see that he does do it. You know, some editors have come out and talked about it before. Marvel seems to not want to do that anymore. So they stopped kind of talking about it at all. And they're just throwing him on like top tier books for the most part because the guy sells. His art's good, right? Money, in my opinion.
Money.
In my opinion.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, there's people like, if you ask my brother, he's like, no, I don't like Greg Land. I don't appreciate his tracing. I don't really like that. And my brother brought up a good point to me too the other day. He's like, why would I want to buy, like, the part I love experiencing most about comics is seeing art and being like blown away by how someone put this creatively and made it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I guess you're right. The magic is taken away a little bit if you're looking at, you know, maybe traced art. Like,
well, I didn't know he traced until you just told me. And now I feel bad that, like, but I still like it. Is it a dick move? Absolutely.
Dude, I'm telling you, Google it after we get off.
I'm not going to Google it.
I
do like his art. But hey, I think it's a dick move. Greg, I like looking at your artwork, but it's a dick move how you do it.
Me too.
It's kind of, I'm torn between.
And he doesn't do it all the time. He doesn't do it all the time, but like, he does do it.
Well, if he does do it. I mean, look, it's kind of like, well, he should credit the people that he traces, you know, that. And well, you know what? Look, let's move on because I don't want to get into.
Let's move on.
Like, you know what? I like Greg Land's art. Kind of a dick move, but the April solicitations.
April solicitations. Look, they seem good on surface level. It kind of seems like cruising a little bit of what we already knew was going to be out,
and that kills the excitement for me.
So it's talk about that. That's
I knew it all. The only ones I didn't know was that, okay, Punisher was the mini series now for sure because it's not in the May solicits.
Yeah,
you showed me all the Wolverine ones, all the X-Men ones. You showed me Deadpool was coming out. You showed me Avengers was tying into Fall of X.
Yep.
They gave everything away except for Hulk, She-Hulk, and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So why are you even, like, why not just release them all the time?
Because
dropping them when you've told me, like, Kid Venom, you'd everything dropped already. And it takes away the excitement. It's like you telling, hey, you know what I'm getting you for Christmas? This is what I'm going to get you, but.
Dude,
wait till Christmas.
You gotta. It all goes back to. I mean, look at every creator ever. Basically, like Jonathan Hickman, Kieran Gillen, they all come right out and they're like, "We freaking hate solicitations. We wish they were never a thing. They suck. They spoil things for us every now and then."
Devil's advocate, you can see why, because it's the culture of, I got to get this book when it comes out so I can charge someone $400 because it appeared in a background character in a still on a poster in an MCU movie.
That too. Dude, I mean, remember Jason Aaron's issue 58 of his Avengers run?
53.
And it's Black Panther and
53.
Was it 53?
I had
remember
every
they're like the
fucking issue, except for that one.
Are you kidding?
$25.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Oh, no, you're grand, because I found it for $1.50 in a back issue.
God bless.
Dollar bin. So boom. But
my
comic
shop was like, they handed it to me and they were like, we love you. Here's this issue. Just know that this, like, 50 people called into the shop asking for it. And I was like, are you kidding? And they didn't even fight in it. It's just like, guy was like,
it's just, it's because he had a red costume. Black Panther had a red costume.
Oh, was that because of it? Was it, yeah, is that why?
But it was just for a couple panels and then it was gone. Issue 52. It was issue 52.
52. I said 58. Yeah. No, it's so, hey.
It's the culture. No, you know, you gotta, it's, hey, people.
We could have a full episode on that. Yep. Seriously.
And it will be Negatrons. And I don't want to be a Negatron.
That's the thing. I agree. We will be Negatrons about it. Look,
Gang War.
We need to talk about that. Gang War has been the event I've been waiting for as far as like me. I have to say this. I have to come on and say this. People might disagree. If you do, like, I can kind of forgive you, but not really. Look, Spider-Man, one of the best parts about this character is that he's street level. Yes, he'll be there to help fight Galactus when he comes. Yes, he'll be there for this, you know, whatever, insert here. The guy is a street level character. That is like a side that's not really explored that much. I love this event kind of what it does. This kind of shit, right? I love it.
No, but you're right. It's even, it goes back to when Greg Rucka was doing his Punisher run and he did that Punisher War Journal like mini to close out his run. And Spider-Man pretty much said to the Avengers, because I think Frank had been framed for killing police officers or something. And he's like, why aren't you guys addressing this? Like, you always ignore this. You let him walk the streets. And like Tony pretty much is like, but it's chump change. We have to handle the bigger things. Right. But that's why Spider-Man is on the street. Spider-Man's the one who you could see getting your cat out of a tree. Spider-Man's the one who could see. You're not going to see Iron Man like stopping a daylight robbery. He's too busy. And Gang War like shows how kind of like out of touch the event. Like the Avengers have Impossible City now, or Avengers City, wherever, like up. Outside
the impossible, they're
not,
whatever.
They're not gonna be, and it's right. Just it's so well written. It's fast paced. It takes place over 48 hours. The characters that are tying in make sense.
Yeah, because, they do make sense. Yep,
and it's just it's fun, and you know it's building. It's all building. Zeb, and like I get people are just destroying Zeb Wells about this run, and personally, I don't know why. I was so happy because Nick Spencer's run was, I hung in through that. It was like 102 issues.
You opened my eyes on that. Was that 92 issues?
Maybe more, because think about it. There was Sinister War. There was the Chameleon Conspiracy. There was King's Ransom. There was the Free Comic Book Day issue. There was the Hunted. There was ones that was, and Last Remains with the tie-in issues. It was a big one.
For all that went in, I would say 30% of it was good.
Well, with the ending, what he did to that particular storyline to retcon it, I was delighted.
Dude.
I'm like, yes. I agree.
But if you ask me what happened in that issue, it was so freaking confusing.
I had to read it twice, and I'm still confused.
How did Nick Lowe let that go?
I can tell you why. Jesus Christ, we need to wrap this up. Fine. Publish it. There you go. Let's get beyond on the cards.
You might be right. That's what happened. You might be right, dude. And God bless him if that's what he did.
But it's each to their own. You know, like each
look,
to their
look,
own.
Look, of course, you know, it's each to their own.
You know, like I'm not going to try and if somebody tells me Nick Spencer's runs their favorite run of Amazing Spider-Man. I'm not going to try and convince you why you're wrong. Cool. Wasn't the run for me.
No, man.
But I've been reading. I think I have from issue 297 to the current issue. I think I've every issue of Amazing Spider-Man. Maybe there's like 20 between of volume 2 that I don't have dispersed.
Yeah,
so like
that's
I've
crazy.
I've been through it all.
Yeah.
I've been with Peter for a long time, little Petey. And I've seen what he's gone through, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, the thing with Gang War, I think, was it was really refreshing because Fall of X was so big, clocking in at, like, over 90 issues. Over 90 issues. Fall of X, the end of the Krakoan Age.
I have that right here next to me, yeah.
No, but remember, Fall of X is the banner event that, like, kicked us on to in the fall of the House of X is like the swan song. It's like the last chapter.
I bought every single, I was thinking of this yesterday. I bought every single X-Men title in the whole Krakoan age, except for the last Teeny Howard limited series, because I just couldn't freaking read it. I couldn't do it.
So that's why I love Gang War 2, is because Fall of X was just so big.
It took a lot of energy to read. I'm taking notes.
Oh, where did you see? I'm gonna link you my reading order notes. They're ridiculous.
Yeah, send it to me. But send it to me. Yeah.
The Fall of the House of X. Oh my, or the House of Ten. I don't know. I was like, oh my god, it just kicks off.
It kicks off.
You've waited this long here.
Yeah.
X-Men 30, boom. Iron Man 14, boom. And you're like, yes, fantastic. This is the way you do it. So I'm excited. I still haven't read The Resurrection of Magneto, but
I haven't either. As you know, I've been behind because I was on vacation. But but dude, oh man, I know I have my fat stack of comics here that I need to dip into, and like that's first on my list because I was so hype reading the first issue of Powers, whatever, those two books, Powers at 10.
Fall of the House of 10 and then Rise of the Powers of 10.
Thank you. Those two were great. And you know what I liked about it? Yeah. You know what I liked was that it was just like, here it is, like you said, and here's maybe how it'll end too. Kieran Gillen's book, it was like, here's probably how it's gonna end, and I was like, frig, that's crazy.
Because I gave it a snippet of information about my YouTube stuff. I'm gonna do I've an event timeline and like try and make it really digestible. So the House of 10 and Powers of 10, I'm going to try and put that like chronologically, because you didn't really know that they're supposed to be read together when they first came out. After the fact, it's like, hey, these kind of intertwine, you know. But I'm excited about Blood Hunt. I'm excited that Chasm is back.
As a whole, I don't think I've told you this, or maybe we did talk about it. I wasn't like super thrilled with Marvel Comics in 2023. So I really, really want to see a strong 2024. Like I would probably give as a whole out of 5 stars, I would probably give them like a 2.9 out of 5, maybe a 3.0. I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
It was a tough time because the multiverse... everybody wanted the multiverse, and we had Avengers the multiverse, we'd Spider-Man the multiverse, we'd Spider-Man with the multiverse, we'd Sabretooth with the multiverse. You just had so much multiverse.
And more. There's like, more we're forgetting.
Hulk. Donny Cates is Hulk.
That was multiverse. So
you know,
there's a lot. There's a lot.
There's a lot.
Hey, you know what? I think that's a great way to end the show. Look. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Rob, thank you for being here. Can't wait to have you back for more. If you are new here to Geekable Podcast, please give us a follow at Geekable_podcast on Instagram. We're also on TikTok. Please go explore our channel, posting constantly. Go check out Rob at Rambling Rob on Instagram and on YouTube, where he's constantly posting new material about comics, this, that, the other. Go check us out, guys, and we will see you next week for more. Thank you so much, Rob, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, Nick. Bye, guys.
Awesome. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.